Lord, may help me at our short attention to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. What very practical and also a spiritual instruction is given us in this book of Proverbs. Yes, the writings of Solomon under the gracious inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And these Proverbs have been full, as I say, of instruction for the living family of God down the generations. But amongst these very things that are expressed and set forth in this book of Proverbs, there is that also, which surely, as in this verse that I brought before you this evening, not only is instructive for us regard to our relationships in life, now dealings one with another, and particularly within and amongst the church of Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the brethren with which we are joined, but also it surely directs us to that one alone of whom it can truly be said, he is a friend that loveth at all times and a brother that is born for adversity. We are thankful for relationships we enjoy obviously in this life, and where we find real and genuine friends, how important it is that we prize those friendships. And as the book of Proverbs also reminds us, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Obviously, in human relationships, a two-way thing. And I know even in some of the closest relationships, we can at times be very disappointed. And yet, how important also is this, and that where is of that real and genuine friendship, it is not only that real love to that person in that sense when things go reasonably well with us, but particularly in times of difficulty, adversity, or when particular problems indeed do arise. How often is sadly evidenced that even in human relationships, particularly when we come into times of particular trouble or distress, we find how very few are the friends that we really have, that are genuine and indeed will and do, as it were, cleave to us, not only in prosperity, but also in adversity. Yes, we have often many acquaintances, but we have, when it comes down to it, very few we can really say are genuine friends. But oh, let us not overlook this either. And what an important point it is, as it concerns the church of Jesus Christ, a brethren brought into that fellowship of the church, and in that relationship, in that sense, one with another. True, we come from diverse backgrounds. Indeed, each, the people of God, their own distinct personalities, within the relationship within the church, how much grace do we need both to bear and forbear one with another? But oh, let us not overlook the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ, addressing as he does his own immediate disciples, and not only to them, but it is the word of the Lord to his people still. Oh, for grace both to hear it, to receive it, and indeed enabled to walk in the light of the same. What did Jesus say to them? He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. What is particularly emphasized in those words of our Lord Jesus Christ? Did not the law of Moses say that we should love one another even as we love ourselves? But oh, friends, the words and command and directions of our Lord Jesus Christ go beyond that, in the sense which the law of Moses required. It says that ye love one another as I have loved you. Oh, can we begin to fathom the height, the depth, the length, the breadth of the love of Christ, which passes knowledge? Oh, when we are reminded of that love of the Lord to his own, is that which was both from everlasting, and indeed is to everlasting, that not all the changes that are found, the lives even the Lord's people, not all their sins, their follies, their failings, alter the reality and genuineness, that love of the Lord to his own. And when we consider also the lengths the Lord has gone, well, does John write in his first epistle, brethren, let us love, not in word and in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. And is that not gloriously evidenced in the dealings of our Lord Jesus Christ with his own? Yes, his love is not in word and in tongue only, but, oh, in deed and in truth. When we consider the lengths that he hath gone to redeem his people from the curse of a broken law, well, as it is said, nothing brought him from above, nothing but redeeming love. When we consider also the very state and condition of each one that are brought within the very realization of the wonder of that love and mercy of the Lord towards them, not when deserving. Have we ever been deserving? Shall we ever be deserving of the Lord's love and favor? No. The scripture informs us that it was when we were yet sinners Christ died, and that God justifieth the ungodly. And what is the daily experience of the living family of God? It is surely ever the sense of their need as a sinner. But oh, that which surely the blessed teaching of the Holy Spirit will and does fill their heart with joy and peace is that which the glorious gospel of it, the grace of our God, makes known. That of all that the Lord Jesus is, and all that he hath done, as the Holy Spirit witnesses, and to it is the needy, and the burden, and the heavy laden, the soul that is a needy sinner, is brought to cry unto the Lord for mercy. Yes, that there is forgiveness with him, that he may be feared, that his love and mercy is thus manifest still to ruined, needy sinners, even as many as he does call by his grace. Remember then the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the very practical implication of them, as it concerns the people of God, as we have, in a sense, a testimony to it in these words of our text. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother that is born for adversity. But it is not only upon the relationships of believers one with another, I want to concentrate this evening. Important as that is, and it does have its place, as that which is a fruit and effect of the grace of God that we are the recipients of. That is, we indeed are the recipients of that grace. As our Lord Jesus himself said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Oh, should not that characterize the believer through grace? Should it not be that which is abundantly evident amongst the companies of the Lord's people? Ah, friends, how sad and solemn it is when strife and contention arises. How active is the enemy of souls in seeking, friends, to promote such things, even amongst the living family of God. Oh, for that grace enabling us to keep a careful watch over our own spirit and to be enabled to walk not only in the light but in the realization of that love of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much, friends, we owe to him. How dependent we are upon him. Remember also what our Lord said, and it has an application surely to us still. He says, learn of me, who am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Oh, to be well instructed in the realization of this in our daily lives, and that gracious leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit. But a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And surely these words direct us to him who indeed is a friend that loveth at all times. Is there such a one as our Lord Jesus Christ is? Is there any that can be compared unto him? No, indeed not. Is not this a blessed reality of what he himself declares? And surely herein is one of the greatest wonders that the Lord Jesus himself declares that he is the friend of sinners, that he brings sinful men and women through the riches of his grace into the bonds of that relationship with him. Indeed, what his word declares and makes known is that which is the outworking of his love to them, even from before the foundation of the world. As one of our hymn writers well puts it, God did love them in his Son long before the world began. They the proof of this receive when in Jesus they believe. Yes, friends, let us not overlook this, the love of Christ to his people, the love of Christ to your soul and mine, as a needy sinner, does not begin when we have brought into the first apprehension for ourselves personally the wondrous reality of it. No, it is that which has its origin from before the foundation of the world, in the sovereign will and good pleasure of our God, and assured in that covenant ordered in all things and sure, and all as it is found and centers and flows through all that God in Christ has both appointed and provided, and does in his own appointed time make known in the very soul's experience of each sinner that he calls by his grace. Yes, that he who is the Lord of life and glory should not only have association with sinful men and women, but bring them into the bonds of such a relationship as is here indicated in the words of our text. Well, there is that question proposed. Shall God in very deed dwell with men upon earth? Oh, when we consider that great and vast is, that, as it were, the contrast between a holy God and sinful men and women as we are. Can such a relationship, sinful men and women, be brought into regard to the one and only true God, he that dwelleth in eternity, whose name is holy, who cannot look upon sin, but with a sore sore and a just displeasure against it? Friends, here is something that could never be attained unto but sinful men and women themselves. But it is that which the Lord himself makes known unto us in the precious truth of the gospel. Hear it in the words of our Lord Jesus himself. See how when he spoke to his disciples there in that upper room. Go to John chapter 13. We read at the very opening of that chapter, the Lord knowing that all things that were spoken him should were about to be accomplished. It is said, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And we see the very what the Lord, well, Lord did on that occasion, as he took a towel and girded himself and filled a bowl with water and began to wash the disciples' feet. Oh, what an action there. Remember who it was. Even as the disciples amazed at it, as Peter said, Lord, thou should never wash my feet, that he, their Lord and Master, should condescend to take, it were the form not only of a servant, but in such but to perform such an act as he was doing. Lord, thou should never wash my feet, says Peter. What says the Lord to him? What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Not only referring as it did to what was the meaning of his action on that occasion, and the example he set them. And what an example is the Lord Jesus Christ still to his church and people. Oh, for grace to be followers of him as dear children, as I mentioned a few moments ago, to drink more deeply into that one and true spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, of real and true a self-sacrifice indeed, wherein, friends, our whole concern and desire is that the Lord alone may be glorified, that what concerns both his, but that concerns that which pertains to his honour and to his cause and interest here upon earth is that which has the priority in our lives. Not just merely in considering what is of advantage to ourselves. Oh, we know how much of that attitude and spirit there is abroad in the earth, and we cannot surely, we're honest with ourselves, claim we're altogether, friends, free from it. But oh, for that grace which brings us truly to prefer for others before ourselves, to see and indeed to know the very spirit and attitude of what the psalmist expressed when he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. But on that occasion when the Lord then washed his disciples' feet, having taken his garments and sat down with them, he says, know ye what I have done unto you? He called me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If then I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. But the point I was coming to was this. The Lord also said to them this, later on, there in the upper room. He says, I have not called you servants, but I have called you friends. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But he says, all that I have received of my Father, I have made known unto you. What a relationship is that which the Lord testifies of there, not only for his disciples then, but for his believing people through his grace. Still, he not only calls them servants. Yes, is that not, friends, a great privilege for us, the sinners saved by grace, to be brought and made willing to follow the Lord, indeed to serve him in our day and generation? Should it not ever be considered the chief concern, but the very delight of a child of God to in that sense be employed in the service of their Lord and Master, whatever form that service may take? But friends, the Lord doesn't leave it there. He says, I have not many called you servants, I have called you friends, bringing them into, as it were, that closer realization of that relationship and union with himself. And such a friend is the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's reminded here that a friend loveth at all times. Oh, there is, friends, no doubting of the love of the Lord. You know how sadly oftentimes we surely have to confess, is there not much doubting of that love of the Lord in our own lives and our own personal experience, particularly when situations arise of difficulty, of distress, or any particular present need? How, friends, those questions arise. How active is the enemy in seeking to promote the same? Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be gracious no more? And so on. Can we say we're free from such workings of that, sadly, in our own lives? Yes, often, friends, we sin sadly in doubting the love of the Lord. But oh, there's no doubt in that love of the Lord to his own. Oh, for that grace of living faith, the believing, receiving of this, the cleaving to him, even when all seems dark around us, when friends, when matters press in upon us, and in that sense even fears increase. Look at it in the case of Job. Is there a man more troubled and distressed than Job was, and for the multiplied afflictions that were upon him? You know, Job had some friends, three of them, hearing of the calamities that had come upon that dear man of God. They came, they thought, to comfort him. And for seven, and seeing the situation he was in, for 7 days, they never said a word. Was so astonished at what they found, and that such a man, as indeed they acknowledged Job was, should be in the condition he was. They said nothing. In one sense, would it not have been better for Job in that sense if they remained as silent? But we find that they began then to speculate as to what was the cause that Job was in that situation. And instead of helping their friend, they added to the distress of Job. And yet, we see the Lord's overruling, even in those things, that there, though Job, so troubled as he was, Yet what is the expression of that dear man of God? Still, friends, cleaving to his God. Though he slay me, he says, yet when I trust in him, as I mentioned a few moments ago, there's no ground to doubt the love of Christ to his own. For even in friends the most distressing situations, is not the Lord also there? Is not his eye ever upon his people? Is not his ear open to their cry? Are they not still those whom he hath loved, chosen, redeemed and called? And shall, friends, anything arise that can separate them from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord? A friend loveth at all times. There is no ground whatsoever to doubt the love of Christ. But, friends, what abundant evidence is there, and surely in the very lives of the Lord's people, which bears witness and testimony to the unchanging love and faithfulness of our God. One thing we can sadly say, have we not, friends, often failed and do still fail? Could one of us this evening claim that looking back over the way and the years that are past, that there is not that a much of which we have sadly to be ashamed of, and even as we come before the Lord, the very confession of our sinfulness, our waywardness, our often failings and forgetfulness of him. Yes, we have much in that sense to humble us at his feet. And to in the daily realization of what debtors we are, debtors to the mercy of God, and that every moment of our lives, and again and again to acknowledge, if not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. No, but as I say, looking back, what can we say? Though, friends, we have much to mourn over, have we not also much to bear witness and testimony to? And that is the goodness and the mercy of our God. Has he not been better to us, not only than what we ever deserved, but even, friends, what we could even have thought or expected as well? What a friend is the Lord, has the Lord been, and is the Lord, and still will be, to the praise of the glory of his name. If there is one, and in that sense, there is only one, upon whom we can implicitly rely, and that is our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We cannot, friends, nor is it right, nor is it nor profitable for us in that sense implicitly to rely, even upon the most closest friend we have, though we value friendships in that sense. But our trust and confidence is not to be in an arm of flesh. And however close that relationship, thankful we should be for it. But the trust and confidence the believer is to be in the Lord, our God and Saviour, and him alone. But notice this, he is a friend that loveth at all times. What encouragement we have, so, friends, to trust in him, so to look to him, so to expect that he will and does hear our cry and will, according to his own sovereign will and good pleasure, need answer and ever meet the needs of his people. What encouragement do we have thus to look for it and in the believing expectation of it? Grounded as our encouragement is upon the word and promise that he has spoken, The very realization of this, as one well puts it, he holds all nature in his hand, that gracious hand on which I live, does life and time and death command, and has immortal joys to give. Such a friend is the Lord Jesus. Is there such a one like him? Is there any situation that arises in a believer's life beyond either the ability of our Lord or his willingness to address? No, indeed not. And also remember this, the constancy of that love of the Lord, the reality of that friendship. It knows not only no end, it knows, friends, no change. It is not, we are changeable. Sadly, we find that in that sense increasingly. But no change taketh place in him. Yes, as a faithful friend, the Lord will and does. And that time when so needful and necessary, both reprove, rebuke, chasten his people. We're told in the word, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, profitable for the living family of God. And as much the reproofs of the Lord as also the encouragements he gives us, and particularly those reproofs that bring us low at his feet, our sins confessing, ourselves abhorring, that cry still in our hearts unto him, that he will have mercy upon us for his great name's sake. You know, the psalmist knew times like in his own life, of the Lord's chastening hand upon him, and yet did he acknowledge it was good for me that I have been afflicted, for before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now, oh, how he had what precious things had he learned, even in the very painful experience from which he was brought to pass, of one thing above all that he approved. The unchanging love and faithfulness of his God. The Lord did not fail him. The Lord did not desert him. Indeed, the Lord delivered him. And delivered him as the Lord has done. His people what? Why, from the lowest hell. Oh, a friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. And see, friends, that blessed provision that God in Christ has made. And that which comes to us through all that the Lord Jesus is and hath done. Hath he not delivered his people from the lowest hell? Could any other have accomplished that for them, which he hath brought out to the praise of the glory of his great and holy name? You know what Hezekiah expressed when he said in those words, for peace, he says, I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Oh, what glorious truth there. That thou hast in love to my soul. And oh, that is the very outworking of the reality of the friendship of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Thou hast in love to my soul what? Delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Oh, what a full, what a free, salvation as our Lord wrought out for his people. Remember that once for all he hath put away the sins of his people. They could never be brought in condemnation against them. Thou hast cast all my sins, says Hezekiah, behind thy back. What a precious truth is that to the soul brought under divine teaching. The great mercy of God, low at the Saviour's feet, to know his healing touch, to hear his pardoning voice, to know the reality of his love as shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us. A friend loveth at all times, a brother is born for adversity. And throughout the whole life of a child of God here, oh, that enduring friendship of our Lord Jesus Christ, faithful and true. And what is the testimony of his word? It is this, that as he is that friend that loveth at all times, not only does he say, he did to his disciples, his application to his people still, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. A little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, what a promise is that. And the blessed expectation of this, that this friend that loveth at all times, he whose kindness we have surely found and proved, to the wonder, to the praise of the glory of his great and holy name, is that one whom we are assured of as well, that we shall see him and see him without a veil between. For does he not say that where I am, there shall also my servant be? Yes, all that are brought into the bonds of that relationship shall not fail, friends, to be with him there where he is, and indeed with him, as one well says, I shall be with him when he comes triumphant down the parting skies, and when his voice breaks up the tomb, I shall among his children rise. Glorious expectation, but sure it is to each and every sinner that through grace is brought into that relationship, not only to know of him, but about him, but to know him, this friend that loveth at all times, this brother that is born for adversity. Well, leave the remarks there, may the Lord add his blessing. Amen.